Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
It's been a great joy for my wife and I to be here with you. You and your pastor and his wife, Brother Matt and his wife, their families. Been a great joy, a great kinship, and very thankful that we had the opportunity to come. I wish you would pray for my son and daughter-in-law as they continue to serve in Uganda and see people saved. And now we can see five or six other places that desperately need the Lord. You know, all around the world, people need the Lord. There is no dearth of fields to go. There's a dearth of laborers. And tonight, I'd like to speak to you from Mark chapter 14, if you have your Bible. A very simple message. Mark chapter 14. When I read the text, you may have a question about what it's about. My prayers at the end of the message, you will not. Mark chapter 14, verse number 3. Being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, the spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. Whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. If you have your Bible, keep your finger there and turn back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I want to draw your attention to the difference between Martha and Mary. Verse 38, Luke chapter 10. Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him, Jesus, into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, if you can get the picture here, Jesus is walking through a little village, and he comes to a part of the village where Martha greets him and said, would you come in and eat with us? So Martha goes in and begins to prepare a meal. And Mary sits down at Jesus' feet. And Martha's in there working and laboring, and she's trying to put the meal together. And she looks out there, and her sister's sitting at Jesus' feet. And you'll notice the passage. You said they both had sat there for a little while, but Martha got up and went to serve, went to prepare, went to labor. And the Bible says that Martha, Jesus looked at and said, Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was distracted about much serving. And tonight I want to speak to you about a simple thing laboring or loving. You see, it's possible for us to get up here and do what Martha did. We get around and we need to practice, and we get our group together and we begin to practice. We've got to get the pianist ready, and we got to get the sound guy ready, and we all get up here and we work on it and we practice it, and then it comes time to sing, and we sing and we don't think much about it. And I'm not saying this happens, but it often does. And we get in the choir, we get our choir prayer, let's all get ready to sing. But the question is, are we singing because we're trying to labor for the Lord, we want to do a good job? Or is it because, Lord, this is for you? It is a specific thing that Mary learned and Martha didn't. And Martha, the Lord said, is cumbered about. She's distracted. The word is to draw about in different directions with different things. So she was worried about the tea. She was worried about the potatoes ready. And those are important things. But when Jesus is around, they're not so important. And I would remind you tonight that you've come to church. And so could I ask you not to be cumbered with the things you're going to do tonight, or cumbered with the things you have planned next week. But consider tonight, Lord, what is it that I can give to you? What is it that I can do for you that would lift you up and honor you? What is it I can do for you tonight that would show you that I love you? Now notice, if you would, in verse number 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, after she said, Jesus, do you not care? You know what happens? If we're not very careful, we'll get a little bit selfish about things that are going on. No one's helping my Sunday school class. No one's really coming to choir practice. No one's really helping with this and with that. And if we're not very careful, we'll get a selfish attitude. Who's going to help me? And that was Martha. You're a wife and you're preparing a meal and you're doing things around the house. And why is it people don't, I need people to help. And we get a little bit selfish. And that was Martha. She was cumbered about much serving. Now, you know what? Jesus didn't say the serving didn't need to be done. He just said there's some things more important than serving. And notice with me, if you would, Jesus in verse 41 answered and said unto Martha, Martha, thou art careful. You're anxious, you're troubled, you're too worried, you're thinking too much about little things. And careful and troubled, it means stirred up in your heart. Your turbazo is the word. There's turmoil in your heart over things that are going on. Ever had turmoil in your heart over things that are going on that next week won't matter? And it takes away from us. We get up in the morning, I got to do this and I got to do that. And we forget to take time to spend with the Lord, to walk with him as Noah did regularly. As Adam did for a while. As many men in Scripture have done. I want you to understand tonight that it's more important to love him than to serve him. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 42. But one thing is needful. He didn't say that serving was not important. It is. Doing things is important. It is. Fixing the meal was important. It is. But Martha had figured it out. She had fallen in love with Jesus Christ. I mean, desperately in love with the Lord. I mean, everything in her life was centered around him. There was nothing she wouldn't do for him. Martha had figured out the one thing that was most important in this life. Notice, if you would, in verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. So it is a choice that you and I have to make. Lord, I choose you. She hath chosen that good part, the word miris. It is a part of all the things that distract us. So loving the Lord is a part of all of the things of this life. But it is the most needful part. What is the most important part in your marriage? Providing the house payment? Cooking the food? Changing the diapers? Mowing the grass? I would say it's, do you love each other? One thing is most needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. Now, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to our original passage. being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. So if you could picture, they're all around. I would imagine that Simon the leper had been healed, or they wouldn't all been in his house. So they're all there. They're around the table, perhaps, and they're talking and fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. And Mary is sort of in her own world. And she's thinking in her mind, what can I do for Jesus, my Savior, that he would know that I love him? And I would ask you tonight, what is it that you can do to let Jesus Christ know that you love him? What is the most important thing in your life? So Mary thought, and she thought. She said, well, I could do this. No, I may could sit down and sit on his feet and say, Lord Jesus, I just want you to know I love you. No, words are not enough. I could get a faith promise card for this amount. No. And she remembered. Young ladies, before they get married, they save back. They put things back for their marriage. It's called a hope chest. Anybody ever remember hope chest? Anybody have heard of that? It's something you put back in hopes of getting married. Well, she had a de facto hope chest. She had an alabaster box that every time she got a little bit of money, she put it in that box. And every time she got a little bit more money, she put it in that box. Now, lest you think there was not much in that box, or lest you think that was a frivolous thing, there were 300 pence in that box. And that box, if you remind yourself, in Uganda, in many countries in Africa, a dollar is a day's wage. Well, a pence was a day's wage. You remember whenever Jesus, they gave the parable where one man got up, and he got up in the morning and he went and found laborers to work in his field, and they worked all day long, and he gave them a pence. And then there were other laborers. He got at noon and got a little bit later. And then the last one he got with just an hour to go, and he gave every one of them a pence. And he said, look, when they all got upset and said, look, well, we served all day long. Shouldn't we get more? And he said, isn't it my right to give what I want as long as I've kept my promise to you? And so tonight I would ask you, as I look at Mary, she had a year's wages in that alabaster box. And she thought, what can I give to Jesus Christ? He would know that I love him. What could I give? And so she said, I know, my box. And she went and got that alabaster box, and it was like no one else was in the room. It was like Peter and James and John and Judas Iscariot were not in the room. And she walked right over to Jesus Christ, and she had this box, and she had no intention of giving him a piece of it. So she walked over and she broke that box. And as the sweet smelling smell began to go out, worth a year's wages, 50,000, 100,000, 150,000. To her, it was her future. To her, it was everything. And she wanted Jesus to have it. She poured it on his head, and as it ran down, Mary included her best for Jesus Christ. Do you know something? The Lord Jesus wants your best tonight. That was the thing that was needful in Mary's heart that she wanted to give to Jesus Christ. Do you understand tonight that Martha was doing all these different things and working in junior church and children's church, and she was passing out tracts, and she was this and she was that, but Jesus Christ wants our attention and our worship and our love from here to here. He wants our labor, but he wants everything in your box. He wants your love. I wonder how many Christians in this room tonight love him more than anything in your box, more than anything in your future. Have you taken your dreams and given them to Jesus Christ? These six missionaries, you've heard their story. I surrender. And Martha is over there laboring and doing good things for Jesus. And she would have been considered a great Christian. But Mary figured out that good part that means the most to Jesus Christ. Have you figured out what it is? When the Lord Jesus holds out his hand and says, I'd like to have that. Years ago, Jeremy was just born. Had a lot of issues when he was born. The doctor looked at me and he said, Mr. Pittman, if you can pray, tonight so do it. If he makes it through the night, he'll live. Well, I went home and I got on my knees. My wife is in the hospital. She just had a cesarean section and she was out of it. There was no one to talk to, no one I could spend time with. And I went home and I got down on my knees in that third floor apartment. And I was a simple youth pastor, and I'd already lost a little girl, Melissa, the year before, and now it looks like I'm losing my son the next year. And I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord Jesus, if you want Jeremy, you can have him. But I'm asking, let me keep him. But Lord, he's yours. It was one of the hardest prayers I ever prayed. Next morning, went back to the hospital, anxious, waiting to see what had happened. And I walked in and I said, how's the little baby? How's Jeremy? How's my wife? And they said, your wife is doing fine. She's doing great. And Jeremy, well, he took a turn for the better last night about 7 o'clock. Oh. That was the time I got down and I said, Lord, he's yours. And I broke my box. And he got better. And I went to sleep. And had a good night's rest. When I was dating my wife, I was 19 years old. I was in love with her. Couldn't get married yet. But I was about ready to make the decision. And I remember where I was standing. And I remember praying and saying, Lord, I love this girl, Susan. I love her with all my heart. But Lord Jesus, I give you Susan. But let me keep her if it's your will. But she's yours. I got to keep her. 3 times in my life, I had to break my box with my most treasured possession. David, do you love me more or do you love Jeremy more? David, do you love me more or do you love Susan more? I noticed that when Mary included her best, she had to ignore the criticism. When Jeremy was getting ready to go to the mission field in Uganda, Africa, almost 13 years ago, this lady in my church came up to me and said, you're not going to let your son go to that place, are you? I said, ma'am, box is already broken. She's lost all of her kids. I got to keep mine, even though he's gone. Lord, there's going to be criticism. There's going to be people, perhaps some of you, they're going to say, Brother Chris, you're a firefighter. You've got a career. You're going to throw away your life? You're going to throw away your career? You know what a firefighter makes after they retire after 25 years? $80 million a year. They can do whatever they want to do. He doesn't need support. He can go. You're being very foolish. Why go travel for 2 years and go all over the country and try to raise money when you can just stay here and sweat and die in the heat here nearly, and then in 25 years you can go and do whatever you want to do? You know who it was that made the most critical statement? Why this 300 pence could have been given to the poor. You know who it was? John Chapter 6 said it was Judas Iscariot. You know why? The scripture says he was the one carried the bag. And he was a thief. You know what? Nobody can take from you what you give to Jesus. It lasts forever. You take your children and give them to Jesus Christ, nobody will ever take it from you. You take your faith promise card, and maybe some of you tonight, you put a number down there because the Holy Spirit you thought spoke to your heart, but maybe you consider a little bit more and you say, you know, I could do a little bit more, and you break your box and you could up it a little bit. Do you understand tonight what you give to Jesus Christ, what you break open that's in that box can never be taken away from you. It's laid up in heaven awaiting for you. Judas Iscariot mocked. It doesn't say who it is, but notice if you would in verse number 4, and there were some that had indignation within themselves. I wonder if it was Peter, if it was James. But the disciples, how could anybody question someone giving their all to Jesus? But you do that, and it'll happen. You come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because you want to learn and you want to grow in the Lord, and you get up and you read your Bible every morning and you pray and you spend time with the Lord and you go to work and somebody says, hey, you know, what are you doing tonight? Well, I'm going to church. You're going to church? You do that all the time. Oh, yeah, I know, but it's worth it. You must be crazy. You're giving too much. You're going to take money. You're going to not buy a new car and give it to Faith Promise? You're crazy. No, I'm not. How many of you here have bought a new car in the past? Raise your hand. After 5 years, what's that car like? I mean, French fries in the floor, ground in, and chips. And I remember one time I didn't buy a new car, but it was very close. It was a demonstrator, and so it had about 3,000 miles on it, and it was the closest we came to a new car. And so my wife was so proud of it, and that was her car, and she was so excited about it. And so she said, let's have nobody drink and eat in the car. So wait a minute. Every Monday and Friday we go have a date, and I, after we're done for lunch, I go to 7-Eleven and get me a super big gulp and a Snickers. And we drive around, we do things together, and I enjoy it. And she looked at me, she says, don't you spill that in my car. I said, I'm not spilling it in your car. Stop thinking. So sure enough, it wasn't very long, and I jumped out. I don't know what it is, but my elbow hit that 44-ounce big gulp, and it went over her feet, and she looked right at me, and it goes right into her floorboard. She goes like this. She said, I want another car. I mean, the stuff on the floor just floated in Dr. Pepper, big gulp. I mean, it was the coolest thing you've ever seen in your life. Well, I didn't get her another car until the second time I did it. 88 ounces of Dr. Pepper requires a new car, I'm telling you. Well, you know, I look at that and I say, Lord, maybe I can go with a little bit more used car and give a little bit more to Faith Promise. I'm telling you the truth. I'm asking you tonight, what's in your box that's more important than Jesus? Break it tonight. Give it to the Lord. Everyone in this room ought to love your children as much as life itself, but not more than Jesus. If any man love father, mother, houses, lands more than me, he is not worthy of me. Could I ask you tonight? Look at your faith promise, and that'll tell you really how much you love the Lord Jesus. What percentage of your faith promise? You see, the tithe and offering, that's a given. You tithe, you give that. 10% off the top, you just give that. That's required. I mean, really, that's like your rent. Your offering, Your faith promise? That's like your love. To me, it would be more than your rent. You say, hey, preacher, easy. I'm just telling you what's in your box. You're going to get criticized. If you tell anybody what you do for the Lord, you're going to get criticized. If you tell somebody you went out and you knocked on doors at 110 degrees, they're going to say you're crazy. If you told somebody you took up money and you put it in a pot and you went on a missions trip and you went to Nicaragua on a missions trip and they're going to say, man, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you go to Hawaii or something? Why wouldn't you go to Abaco Island, the Bahamas? Nicaragua? Ivory Coast, Africa? China? Thailand? It's hotter there than it is here. Because you add in 100% humidity. I know Fiji's hotter than any place I've ever been in my whole life. It's 4,000 degrees in humidity. It just pours on you. We went there one time to build a building for Brother Navi. Took 17 men. It was so hot. I took some of the toughest men you ever seen in your life. Construction guys. Work, I mean labor, no problem for them. We got up 6 that morning. I'm telling you what, we're all laid out in 30 minutes. I remember laying in that church with a fan blowing. There's 36 fans in that church. How many fans in that church? We flipped on the switch. They're not blowing hard enough. Get them to go faster. And we're laying there. I'm looking over one guy and looking over the other guy. And we're all in there. What is this place like? It took 3 days before we could work an hour and a half, 2 hours at a time without a break. I want you to understand tonight, everybody in this room has got something you love. And it's in the box. You're going to get criticized if you give things to the Lord Jesus. If you give time and prayer. George Mueller said, if I don't pray 2 hours in the morning, I can't get everything done during the day. 2 hours. Most Christians can't give 20 minutes. 2 hours. I once talked to a preacher and I said, hey, I want to ask a question. How is it you know so much scripture? And he says, well, I just memorized scripture. I know, but tell me how you learned all that scripture. Tell me, I want to know. I want to do that. And he says, well, for 20 years, I took from 8 to 12, 4 hours a day and memorized scripture. I went, oh. 20 years, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, 20 hours a week, for 20 years. Wow. What's in your box? Now notice this. Not only did she include her best, did she ignore the criticism, she impacted the Savior. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but there are some people I'd like to, the word is not impressed, but I would like to make a mark with. I'd like for them to know that they're important to me. Now, I love you, Pastor. I'd like to look good in his sight. I love my son. I'd like to look good in his sight. You know, I have two heroes in my life. One sitting right there in the wheelchair. She's my hero. Because she's been in a wheelchair for 6 years and never heard complain one time. I get a cold and I'm griping. I get a fever. She's got to take care of me. She's my hero. My son, that's the other hero. I want to look good in both of their sights. I want them to know they're special to me. I want them to know that I'd do anything for them. But there's one person that I want him to be pleased with me more than anything else in this world. I want to impact his heart. Mary wasn't planning on impacting his heart. She was planning on doing something to show that she loved him. And if you do that to Jesus, you will impact his heart. Do you understand tonight that Mary, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus said, look, leave her alone. She hath done what she could. Wouldn't you like for the Lord Jesus to say that about you? Hey, world, leave him alone. Hey, people at work, leave him alone. He's done what he could for me. I'm proud of him. Missionaries, you serve for 10, 15, 20 years. Hey, leave them alone. They've done what they could. In other words, they've done their best for me. Have you done that tonight? Was your faith promise your best tonight? I honestly think that the world has yet to see what a church could do if they just sold out to Jesus Christ. If everybody in the room broke their box and let the sweet smell encourage one another. I noticed that Jesus Christ, and how many of you think the gospel is important? How many think that? We all think that. That's the most important thing in the world. Did you know this? Why don't you look at this last verse? Look in verse number 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. So I want the gospel to go all over the world. I want everybody to know how to get saved and how to get to heaven. But I want you to notice what else he said that we have missed for years in our churches. We've missed for years in our devotions. We've missed for years in our homes, in our Christian lives. Notice he says, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial. What did she do? She fell in love with Jesus Christ and gave him her best. The best I've got to offer is my son. It's my wife. It's my job. It's my future. I want to be a firefighter. I'll give it to you. I want to be a doctor. I'll give it to you. I've seen people break their boxes, and it costs them hundreds of thousands a year. But I see the smile get bigger and bigger, and the joy get deeper and deeper, and they are happier than they've ever been in their life. You know what Jesus said? Loving him is equal to the gospel. It's that important. Not serving, loving. I thought for years, and you know the Lord Jesus asks you to break your box ever so often. Because our pride takes over and we begin to get clutchy. Begin to hold on to things. Have you looked into your closet recently? Did you know closets used to be, 50, 60 years ago, used to be about that wide? What are you laughing about? Did you know in America, we have AAA storage where you go put all the things that won't fit in your closet. Have you counted the number of shoes in your closet? I'm embarrassed the number of shoes in my closet. I got 12 of them, I know. I got 12 slots, I know where they are. 3 pairs of tennis shoes. 2 flip-flop pairs. 3 dress pairs. Imelda Marcos, 1,000 pairs. Her basketball players, they only wear a pair one time, throw them away. And people are dying and going to hell at the rate of 5 a second. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands a day. And we go to our closets. We say, I need to go shopping. Isn't that true? maybe we'd say, Lord, I won't go shopping this year. I'll add an extra $10 a week. Not just the money. I'll say no to myself. Mary did. She said, what have I got? I remember going to the richest people in one of Jeremy's village churches. It was a round hut. I remember Jeremy said, I'm going to take you to the wealthiest people in our church. I said, okay. Well, I expected some nice house and, you know, I don't know what I expected. And so we drove up and we pulled into this yard underneath the tree, and they were sitting out underneath the tree on a woven mat, and they were shelling peanuts for their offering. We got up and went through, and I walked through. I said, Jeremy says, can I take my dad through your house? I said, sure. Oh, yes, we're honored, Father Jeremy. I walked through the house. I saw a string went from here to here. Not as long as my closet. A string. And I saw two changes of clothes on it. And I saw a little mound over here and about three or four pots and pans. And we walked outside. No cars. No motorcycles. Walked outside and got in the car. I said, I thought you were there. Said they were rich. He said, Dad, they are. They got two changes of clothes. I went, oh. Think you could break your box tonight? I thought I was doing all right. Had a son on the mission field. My father's a plumber, had his own company. My uncle had a company. That company would have been mine. And one time my dad was running 10 repair trucks and an 18-wheeler to go around and pump all the septic systems. I know a lot of you people think that toilets and septic systems, and that's a nasty thing. But my dad said it smells like money, and he was right. One Christmas, he gave his wife a mink coat and a brand new Lincoln. A big old diamond ring one Christmas from that smell. And I didn't even think about giving that up. I became a preacher until I read this letter. To my dear flock, of which the Holy Ghost hath made me overseer, to all of you who are the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood, your pastor wishes you grace and mercy. I want to give you an example of the love of Christ like I've never seen. The awful disease of leprosy still exists in Africa. Whether it be the same leprosy as that mentioned in the Bible, I don't know, but it is incurable. And so infectious that no one dares come near a leper. In the south of Africa, there's a large leper house. It is an immense space enclosed with huge walls. It contains fields which the lepers cultivate for their own meals. There's only one entrance, which is strictly guarded. Whoever, wherever anyone is found with the marks of leprosy is upon him, he is taken to the gate and obliged to go in, never to return. No one who enters that gate is allowed to come out again. I look from the top of the hill over the gates, walls, I noticed two people, one with no hands, one with no feet, from the awful disease. The one with no hands walked around carrying the one with no feet. They would go with a bag of seed. As the ground had been cultivated, and the one with the hands would drop the seed, the one with the feet would cover it up. And together, these two made the work of one. Dear flock, how little we know of the misery in this life. But you will ask, who cares for the souls of the lepers? Who will venture in to the dreadful gate never to return? Who will forsake father and mother, houses and lands, to carry the message of the Savior to these poor lepers? They too had souls. Two missionaries, impelled by their divine love for Christ, have chosen the leper house as their field of service. They entered in, never to return. And I am told that as soon as they die, others are quite ready to fill the place. And then I got up my box. I said, Lord, could I ask Jeremy to go into that leper house? Lord, I'm asking not to let him go, not to ask for him. You see, now I can use this phone and I can talk to him about one out of every eight phone calls I can get him. But I can talk to him. If he's way back in the bush where nobody can find him, even his cell phone works sometimes. And I know that every 2, 3, 4 years, he's coming home. And every Christmas when he doesn't come home, I know I'm going there because I'm married. I know that. I'm going to get to see him. But I thank the Lord he hadn't asked yet if I would put Jeremy in the box again. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you love Jesus more than anything? If you do, giving to faith promise is nothing. Giving up a new car and driving a used one is nothing. Wearing the same clothes and not buying something a little newer is nothing. What's in your box tonight? Break it open. Give it to him. Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn tonight. And folks, tonight, you don't have to respond. You don't have to break open your box. Nobody will ever criticize you for coming to church faithfully and doing a little bit. But if you want to impact the Savior, if you want to do something that he'll talk about through all eternity, you've got to break your box and give him what's in it. Would you give him your children? Would you give him your family? Would you give him your husband? Would you give him your wife? Will you give him your job tonight? Not necessarily does he take it. He just wants to be first. He just wants to be loved more than all. I'm just going to ask the pianist, I'm going to have a word of prayer and ask the pianist to come in just a moment. And if you need to come tonight and say, Lord, I love you. I'll give you anything. Surrender. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that needs to go to the mission field. And God needs you. Like a Chris Reed. Will you surrender? You break your box. We're not going to stand. I'm just going to let the pianist start to play after a word of prayer. If you need to come and pray and talk to the Lord, you get up out of your seat and you come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to break my box tonight. I'm giving you everything. Lord Jesus, I want to be like Mary. I want to sit at your feet. I want to choose that good part that will never be taken away, that part that touches your heart, that you talk about in heaven with your Father. Lord Jesus, I want to live with a broken box. I want nothing before you. And I pray tonight that you would touch the hearts of these people, some of the sweetest people on earth, Lord. All of us that you have saved and given your everything for. You broke your box. Would help us to return the favor. In your precious son's name we pray. Amen.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.